Although Yoram had never met David, did not know David, nevertheless God forgave him on behalf of his ancestor. And so we have to ask, who has given us a reason to be forgiven? Who, for whose sake will we be forgiven? There was a time when I was 6 or 7 and we went to live with our aunt. And there was something that this aunt did every day. In the morning, at about 4:30 in the morning, she would go to the church's early service, and she would listen to the message and pray, and come back about 6:30 and prepare the meal for the whole family. If you've been in Korea, you may remember, if you grew up in Korea, you remember the cold that would cause your ears to fall off, is the phrase, apparently. So why was this aunt doing this? Well, she was the only Christian in the family, along with my mother and I returned to Japan to be with my father, and she was talking every day with her by telephone and talking about how she prayed every morning for us, my mother and I and my siblings. And she had a vision that she had died and Jesus came to the early morning service to come and take her to heaven. And I thought, oh, Jesus will come to take us to heaven. Now, she passed away over 20 years ago. And yet, I feel that there are times when I am, though I'm not worthy to receive Jesus, nevertheless, as a Christian, I'm forgiven on her behalf, for her sake. It was her prayers that brought me where I am today. Her prayers are supporting me even today. And when I think about this, I have goosebumps. She left this wonderful blessing to me. I think such a feeling is in all of us. That for some reason we are forgiven, and somehow we are mysteriously blessed despite our unworthiness. Perhaps in this church we are forgiven and blessed for the sake of our seniors who have prayed and built this church. I went to a Golden Week camp and heard the message. I thought it was probably my last Golden Week camp. It was difficult for me to speak. And I spoke about having to offer my life to Jesus, to serve the church,
to
tithe. So as a message like this,
The church can continue for 100 years, 150, 200 years.
It's because each generation relies on the blessings for the sake of the previous generation. And here in Megumi Church, we are Christians in Japan. We have a very enviable church in terms of its size, its activities, its buildings and facilities. And yet, this is all about the blood and work of the Christians who contributed money and work to this effort before us. Do we have the conviction to continue as Christians ourselves? We become concerned with money and health and other things of the world. At that time, the church was 62 years old. Do you have the conviction to give your life to the church? Was the content of the message that he gave. And yet, I thought this was difficult because these were young people starting out on their lives, and yet I thought it was an important message to leave them with. And they listened to me very carefully. I felt that many of them were uneasy with the message. They didn't like it very much. And yet, many received it in good faith. And I wonder how they are now thinking about that message. I wonder what they're doing these days. I wonder how we too would receive such a message. I came back to be the principal pastor of this church, and I had a difficult problem of faith at the time. Am I the kind of minister who can help the church, lead the church into maturity and further growth? Or will I watch the church get dried and am I prepared to lead a church whose past members have done so much into a future? Will we grow, or will we crumble? And you might ask why I would think such a thing.
If you look in the Bible, starting with Jeremiah, you see that though Israel had periods of great faith, nevertheless, through the kings who became weak and evil, and they followed those kings and received their effect, they persecuted their prophets, and only by the grace of God's forbearance for David did the country survive. Yet, through all this, in the end, we were promised, they were promised, the resurrection, or rather the revival through the Lord Jesus Christ, and His opening the gate to the kingdom of heaven. The lamp of faith that lights our way was given to us. Something that we could not hope for, yet God accomplished this. There was a passage that I encountered in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 14, that David was saying to his son Solomon. He said, David lived in a great palace, and Solomon too was living there. God's promise covenant was kept in a tent, and this bothered David. He said, let us build a great temple. And yet, God told David, there is too much blood on your hands. You are not fit to build my temple. And so David left the money necessary to his son Solomon. And he said to him, First Chronicles 22:11-14. Now, my son, the Lord be with you, and may you have success and build the house of the Lord your God, as he said you would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and laws that the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord. 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, quantities of bronze and iron too great to be weighed, and wood and stone. And you may add to them. So to David, to his son Solomon said, you will probably become a great king, yet this is not to give you the power to take things from people, but rather for the purpose that you may be God's passionate servant, building his temple. And for this reason, you are to give and build this temple to God. Later, in verse
24.
In verse 14, I said, I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, of bronze and iron too great to be weighed, and wood and stone, and you may add to them. In Japanese, the words we translate as great pains are translated great trouble or time of trouble. The 100,000 talents of gold would be worth 1,700,000,000 about.
은은 1kg 6만 원 정도 하며 2천억 엔 정도 됩니다. 금과 은만
altogether the gold and silver alone would be worth about $4 billion.
목재와 석재도 쓰게 됩니다. 이때 현금은
And David tells his son Solomon to use this great wealth along with the materials to build this temple. And yet, he said, you should add even more to it in order to build the Lord's temple. This is for the purpose of Israel being able to offer worship to God. And you should give all that you have to this purpose. This is the David for whom God would generations later forgive his people and refuse to destroy them. This is David's command to his son to offer himself, his wealth, his work to God. Last year, when I returned to Megumi Church, I was asked by a believer, or sent a letter by a believer, and I read it. And as I read it, I had to start praying. If I read a little bit of it, please do not think about who wrote it, who might have written it. Just listen, please. I do have permission to read this. Pastor Asaoka would call for great contributions, and I began thinking I wanted to give as much as possible, and I gave a lot of money, and I had difficulty with my daily life. I did not consult with my wife. Because I didn't give her the money or the contribution envelope because I believe she would put the family first. And for the purpose of this worship hall, I even borrowed money from the bank. The church bought land and built the buildings, and I thought this was because of the duty of the believers. I was unable to take my children to hot springs. I refused to send them to cram schools in order to devote the money to the church. And now I have no way to work, and the no way to work, and I'm dependent on the Social Security. And now I think that perhaps you, as you read this, will feel badly, but I felt like I'd been hit on the head by a hammer. And I was shocked and disturbed. This person who cut his own life to provide for the church is nevertheless still offering his joyful, faithful life to the church. This church was built on such sacrifice. And we are here because of their great sacrifice and work. And it's for their sake that we are able to worship today. And I feel that, as in the verses I just read, God is saying to us, you have been given so much, add more to it. David, as king, had an absolute power. No matter what he said, people had to do it. If he did evil, nobody could tell him that he was wrong. Yet David was somewhat different. He was not an ordinary king. He was a king who proclaimed that God was king. From the beginning, Israel's throne was a place where the kings proclaimed that God was king, that God was Lord. In Egypt, in contrast, the Pharaoh stood at the peak of all things and was himself a god. It was the Pharaoh's person that made the throne holy, not the other way around. David was different. David gave so much for the Lord's temple because of his faith. He gave everything he had, and he told to his son, though you are king, you will not be king. God is king, he told his son Solomon. As God is king, when you are king of Israel, you must live a life that is testimony
to God. And therefore, he told him, to all these things that I have prepared for the temple, you should add more. David was a murderer. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. And the offspring of that union was Solomon. David was in the least powerful position. And therefore, Solomon would be in a weak position as well. And yet, as the third king of Israel, he would become perhaps the most glorious, if not the greatest king of Israel. And this was for the sake of his father David. And this is because Solomon, like his father, confessed that he was not the king, but that God was king. This was the only condition that David placed on his son. Because of David, David's sins came close to destroying the country. And yet, the offspring of those sins, Solomon, would bind the country back together again. As Israel's king, he reflected the glory of God because he gave his life to God. Perhaps David thought that Solomon would become nothing. And yet, because the two of them gave their lives to God, Solomon became a great king. Perhaps we should not compare ourselves to Solomon. Yet, if we think of this church that was built by the dedication to God of our seniors, are we not called to add more as Solomon was? What is our life? Surely it is our life with God. Isn't Jesus Christ our King? What is the throne of our lives? Surely it is the conviction to give all to God. Should we not have faith and conviction that if we give everything to Jesus, we offer all, that we will live rich lives in Him? My daughter said, I forgot to give my contribution this month, and my daughter was shocked. You're a pastor? And you forget? I gave mine, she said. And so, I learned from my daughter's words. I learned from David. I learned from my aunt. I learned from my predecessors in faith. And I learned from Jesus that the
glorious life.
The throne of my life
is in my daughter's words there.
Can we hope that
God will forgive those who come after us for our sake?
Shouldn't we aim for that?
Shouldn't we be that kind of congregation?
So let us pray.